This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
And now, the Connecticut Business Blend with the Hartford Business Journal on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Greg Bordonero from the Hartford Business Journal and the Connecticut Business Blend. You know, Greg, I was in Enfield on Friday for our show. We talked a lot about the Enfield Mall and that big development that might happen there. You got a New York mall operator that's moving into one of our malls. And which one is it and what might happen?
Yeah, so this is Namdar Realty Group, which actually has owned the Enfield Mall. They still may own a piece of the Enfield Mall. I'm not 100% sure on that. But this is a group out of New York that's been buying up, basically struggling malls all over the U.S., basically. They own Meriden Mall. I think they still own, at least partially, the Enfield Square Mall, Crystal Mall in Waterford, Trumbull Mall. And they just bought the Buckland Hills Mall in Manchester, which is probably the biggest mall that it bought in Connecticut at this point. Buckland Hills has been struggling since the pandemic. It fell into foreclosure in 2021 after its owner basically fell behind a $130 million mortgage. It's gone through a years-long foreclosure case, basically three, four years of foreclosure case. It had a securitized mortgage, which makes things complicated in terms of sorting out how to get through that. But Namdar came in, and through an auction, they had the highest bid, and they officially closed the deal last week. So there's a strong eye on what this group is going to be doing with all its Connecticut malls. They have been accused in other states of sort of being a vulture buyer. They buy these struggling malls, don't do a ton of investments, and then, some of their malls fall into disrepair. That actually happened to the Enfield Mall. In fact, the town of Enfield got into a lot of different fights with Namdar about keeping up, with basic necessities in that property. There is a proposal to redevelop that mall in Enfield. There is also, hopefully, plans to redevelop part of the Buckland Hills Mall. There's talk of, some residential development there. But now, sort of Namdar plays a key role in that. Now, some of the properties are still owned by separate retailers, but they own the majority of the mall. So, concerns for the town or of Manchester about, what's going to be the future is, these malls have traditionally played a big part of the tax bases in the towns and communities that they're in. So that's the big thing with these malls. And they also bring people to their respective towns. So obviously foot traffic has gone down over the years with the rise of online retail. Yeah. So it'll be a big challenge.
Well, yeah, Buckland Hills has Evergreen Walk down the hill. It's doing decent in a lot of spots and has some more appealing stores, to be quite honest with you. We're talking with Greg Bordonero from the Hartford Business Journal and the Connecticut Business Blend here in Bryan & Company. The one thing I've been really – I talked with Jill Schlesinger earlier today. Like, so much of what's happening in the business world is anticipating the issue with the tariffs. What might be the problem, Let's bring in more inventory now, so before it changes. Let's buy something now before the prices go up. But I'm curious about if there's been any actual impact from it. Now, I think you talked with Otis and Pratt on the more industrial side of it. I mean, is there an impact already, like a real impact?
So we have talked to some small to mid-sized companies. Actually, a story coming out a week from today, Brian, we'll talk to you about, of actual companies, particularly companies doing business in China that have seen price increases with some of the goods that they're buying. What's happening right now is obviously it's earnings season, so companies are putting out their first quarter earnings, and we don't always write about earnings. We do on a case-by-case basis. If a company makes news, we'll write about their earnings. But we're keeping a close eye on earnings this time around because companies are sort of disclosing their mostly anticipated impacts of tariffs right now. You know, there may be some prices increases they're experiencing right now, but a lot of it is anticipatory. And so, you know, Pratt is basically saying under the current tariff regime, and, you know, we know at this point that that's going to be changing, you know, maybe as soon as this week on some of the tariffs, particularly in China. But, you know, Pratt & Whitney, if the current tariff regime stays in place, they're projecting $850 million impact, higher costs. And $300 million from the 10% global tariffs, $250 million impact from the 25% tariffs on Mexico and China, $250 million impact from the 145% tariffs in China, and then a $50 million impact from the tariffs on just steel and aluminum. And almost half of that impact is actually from on Pratt & Whitney, which is obviously what you know, the East Hartford-based jet engine maker, which is a subsidiary of Raytheon. So, you know, that's a concern. How do these companies respond? Mostly probably going to be some cost cutting. They're going to try to change their, you know, supply chains to some degree, but that's not a, you know, you can't do that overnight. You can't do that in a week. You probably can't even do that in a month. You know, that takes months, if not years, of rejiggering your supply chain. And then Otis, you know, obviously the maker of escalators and elevators, they're predicting a $45 to $75 million impact. A big market for them is China, so that's a concern. They said that new purchases in China were down 20% in the first quarter. So, you know, in addition to tariffs, China may lower its purchases of some, American-made products just because, you know, they're upset about how the tariff war is sort of playing out. So that's another thing to look at as well.
Just real quick, Greg, you know, I was up on Day Hill Road in Windsor the other day, and Amazon's everywhere. You see them all over the place with their warehouses. You assume it's like the airport's right there, real estate's cheap. They got another big one coming?
Yeah, so, you know, Amazon has been building consistently, I'd say, over the last decade. I think the growth of these Amazon distribution centers has slowed a little bit of late, especially, you know, post-pandemic, as, you know, online retail sales surged during the pandemic, and then it kind of went down a little bit. So Amazon wasn't building as many warehouses, but they've got about 16 right now in Connecticut, and their biggest project to date will be this one in Waterbury, in part of Naugatuck. They just finished a purchase of 157 acres in Waterbury. They paid $2.5 million for the property. They're going to build a 3.2 million square foot facility. You know, it's going to have all the robots and a lot of automation, but obviously they're projecting 1,000 full-time jobs. So, you know, definitely an economic engine starter there. There is some debate about whether these are high-paying jobs or sort of low-paying jobs and what's the value of them in the broader economy. But, you know, this project is finally moving forward. It's been talked about for a few years. It's been approved by the city, and so it's a big project that the city of Waterbury and town of Naugatuck have been working on for quite some time.
All right, Greg. Thanks, as always. Have a great week.
Thanks, Brian.
All right, Greg Bordenero for the Hartford Business Journal. Again, 8:50 on Mondays, the Connecticut Business Blend.